Hey y'all, this is Doug Cox, host of Blind Country Radio. You're listening to my buddy Jason Hassler of Hassling the Paranormal on KXRW 99.9 FM Vancouver.
This is Hassling the Paranormal. I'm your host, Jason Hassler. I'm the director of Big River Paranormal, the Oregon team for the Atlantic Paranormal Society. I've been obsessed with the paranormal since having unexplained experiences as a child. These experiences left me with more questions than answers. Join me as we explore all things paranormal with some of the top specialists and experts in the paranormal community. Welcome and thank you for listening to Hassling the Paranormal. I am your host, Jason Hassler. Today's guest is Doug Meacham, certified and registered hypnotherapist. Can you talk about what a hypnotherapist is?
What we do is we use hypnosis to help people change their beliefs, their perceptions, and their behaviors. It's kind of non-traditional therapy in the sense that, you know, we're not doing a lot of talking or we're not trying to necessarily uncover all of the hidden whatevers. And so if we take it apart, we're using hypnosis, focused concentration, and profound relaxation to help people, like I say, help change their beliefs, perceptions, and behaviors.
And how long have you been doing this?
Wow, this will be 32 years.
Oh, wow, that's a long time. Yeah. So how did you decide this was your calling? What made you decide to become a hypnotherapist?
So when I was 13 years old, our family friend, a neighbor, brought a book called How to Hypnotize Yourself and Others, left it. And he also brought a record, a 33 and a third record of something called The Search for Bridey Murphy.
Okay.
And it was a recording of a woman that was hypnotized and regressed into a past life. And it became a book and a movie, and it fascinated me.
Okay. And what does it take to become a hypnotherapist?
Well, it depends, honestly, where you're at.
Yeah.
So in Oregon, not a lot. There's no requirements. You can hang out a shingle and say you're a hypnotist.
Okay.
California, you actually have licensure. Washington State is registered.
Okay.
So what did I do? I went to school in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
A school called the Atwood Institute. Went there for the duration, then came back up, took some classes from a local educator here, Rich Anrich. And so I don't know how many hours I have, Jason, but I have a lot of hours and a lot of practical experience.
Yeah. So
You're certified and registered. What exactly does that mean?
Okay, so I'm certified as a hypnotist through various boards, the American Board of Hypnosis or Hypnotherapy, and the UltraDepth practitioners. And I'm registered through UltraDepth. It's a unique modality that I use specifically in a lot of the stuff that I do. So I'm registered through them as a hypnotist, yes.
Yeah. So you're also a master NLP practitioner and trainer. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah. Okay. So NLP is an acronym for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. It's been around for quite a while, developed by a couple of guys in California. And it's a really efficient way of changing behaviors.
Okay.
And it's, you know, as one of the guys would say, it's, you know, we'll do all the stuff with hypnosis, but we won't use hypnosis.
Okay.
So, and yeah, I do train it.
Okay. So what types of things are common for people to seek your help with?
Oh, that's an easy one. there's a big three. We do smoking, stress, and weight loss.
Okay.
But hypnosis can be used for a lot of other things. Most of the work that I do is stress.
Yeah.
And I help people stop smoking. I would say stop smoking is about 70% of what I do, and the other 30 is stress. And stress can be all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but people can come to a hypnotist for playing better golf.
Okay.
Or studying for a test. There's a lot of it can be applied anywhere. It's not a silver bullet, of course, but it can be applied anywhere. And the great thing is that there are no side effects. I mean, it's all natural.
That's really helpful with all the medications that we have today for all those things. And I can attest to that, that especially for stress and anxiety type stuff, that those medications are not a fun thing to deal with. So if somebody comes to you, say they want to quit smoking, what would you say the success rate is on that? And does it have a lot to do with what kind of homework they're willing to do? Or is it just they come to you and you can do your thing and then that helps them?
Answer the success rate question first. If I told you it was 100%, you'd look at me and say, you're lying, because it's not 100%. Yeah. It's probably about 80, 85%.
Okay.
It has a lot to do with mindset. I mean, people come to me to stop. They're ready.
Yeah.
My program, the way I do it, is 2 hours. They come in. A smoker, after 2 hours, they're done. They got some peripheral stuff, but it's not necessary for them to be successful. It's just, it's again, it's, you know, if there's a trigger or whatever, I give them tools to deal with those triggers.
But
most of the work is done in those 2 hours.
Okay.
And people leave happy.
How many sessions does it usually take for somebody? Just the one or?
Just the one with smoking.
Wow, that's incredible.
2 hours, in and out.
Huh. And what does something like that cost for a session like that?
Oh, my stop. Smoking program is $525, and that includes everything that I do. Also, I have a service guarantee, which means if you need to come back, give me a call, and we'll set up another appointment. It won't cost you anymore.
Well, the cost of smoking these days, that's not really all that bad.
Not at all. No, it's a little over a month.
Yeah.
Some people, it's a month.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you may not die.
No, so, that's right. Yeah.
So I saw that you assist people with phobias as well. What types of phobias have you helped people with? For me, like, I have these unreasonable fears of, like, sharks and stuff, even though I don't go in the ocean, and spiders and that kind of stuff. But what kind of thing do people come to you for as far as phobias?
Oh, well, I spiders.
Yeah.
Heights, closed spaces.
Yeah.
I actually, interestingly enough, I see more people, I think, for fear of driving over bridges.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, here we are in this part of the country, and there's so many bridges over the Willamette.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that do not like driving bridges. And so, you know, there's other ways to get around, but, you know, if I can help them process that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty. I never realized that people had that much of a fear of driving over a bridge.
Yeah.
Apparently they do.
Yes, they do.
What about, do people come to you for like fear, like public speaking and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, they can. I had a guy come in to see me to, this is a really odd story. Yeah. He played piano.
Okay.
And he played piano very well. However, when he played in front of his parents, he had, it was really uncomfortable. He had basically I wouldn't call it a phobia, a fear of playing in front of his parents, but he wanted to be able to play more comfortably in front of his parents, and okay. he came to see me. So
interesting. Yeah, I guess all sorts of. Can you use it to hypnotism to help yourself?
Oh yes, absolutely. It's called self hypnosis, but in the idea of therapeutic work, we have a phrase that's called going first. Okay. So as a hypnotist, if I'm going to hypnotize you, I really have to get in the state that I'm going to take you to.
Okay.
And so I go into, if we want to call it trance, every time I work with someone. And if I want to do some personal work, improve, change, whatever, I can use self-hypnosis.
Okay. What are some of the misconceptions people have about what you do?
That it's mind control.
Yeah.
It's not. I call it daydreaming on purpose. So, I mean, if you're daydreaming and somebody needs your attention, boom, you're right there.
Yeah.
It's not a true serum. It's perfectly natural. People go in and out of this kind of experience all day long. Television, movies, books have really illustrated a wonderful picture of the possibilities of, you know, nefarious activity. The truth is, hypnosis in a clinical setting is really boring.
Yeah.
You're sitting in a chair, your eyes are closed for about 45 minutes or so, and lots of wonderful things happen, but there's no excitement, you know? So what I really appreciate is people are much more open to experiencing hypnosis and coming in and just seeing what it's like.
Okay. Can you explain the process of how hypnotism, like when you hypnotize somebody, how that works?
Oh, yeah. So there's a structure.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something that we call a pre-talk, which basically is what you and I just did. I'm going to explain to you what it's about. Then we do something that there's different terms for it, but the traditional term is induction.
Okay.
And all induction means is taking you into, right?
Okay.
So that's the space where I help you get very comfortable and very relaxed. I'm using my voice to do that.
Yeah.
Your eyes are generally closed. They can be open. You can be hypnotized and have your eyes open. It doesn't have to be closed. And then we do different things to test, check, make sure we're where we want to be. We do other things that take you more relaxed.
Yeah.
And then when we get to where we want, and again, there are tests. We watch. We see how people look, how they behave, how they're responding. Then we do change work. It's whatever it is. If you want to stop smoking, that's when I go in and I start doing that. And then you tie everything up and you bring them back.
Okay.
That's it.
Can hypnotism help you with medical issues?
Yes. There's a caveat, though. I always require, if somebody wants to do something that they have a medical concern, is they talk to their doc.
Yeah.
They let the doc know. And we basically get permission from that doctor to do what we're going to do.
Okay.
And if I need to, then I get a release to communicate with the doctor and all of that. But yes, like insomnia or even I can't heal a broken bone.
Yeah.
But, but you know, there are some things that are actually like high blood pressure.
Yeah.
So there's type 1 and type 2 blood pressure. And type 2 is pretty, it can have a whole bunch of different causes.
Yeah.
So we can actually use hypnosis to address those different causes and help someone lower their blood pressure.
Okay.
Again, with the caveat that we're going to talk to your doctor first and make sure that, and I'm not going to tell you to take, go off any meds or anything like that. But yeah, that's something I do actually quite frequently.
Have you faced skeptical people and how do you deal with that?
Yeah, I've definitely faced skeptical people. Usually what it's about is I don't believe in hypnosis. And Jason, the great thing is that it's not a belief.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something very natural and normal to the human experience. So once I'm able to explain what it is that we really are doing, most people will step back and reevaluate. Having said that, some people are just going to be skeptical and they're going to be skeptical and I can't do anything and that's fine.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to come into my office and relax in my chair.
Yeah. So can anyone be hypnotized or is this something you have to Can you hypnotize anyone, or do I have to like basically give you permission to be able to do that? You couldn't just do it to me, even though I didn't want to be.
Okay. So there's a couple of schools of thought there.
Okay.
In my office, I'm going to get your permission. Yeah. If I'm doing a comedy hypnosis show, yeah, I'm going to get your permission. Even when you're doing street hypnosis, you're mm-hmm. going to walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, how would you like to experience something?" Sure. Then you have that permission. Yeah. Are there people who can't be hypnotized? Absolutely. There are a few people who just fight it. Because it's, if you don't want to get relaxed, you're not going to get relaxed.
Yeah.
The other is if you're drunk, if you're on drugs, because it's focus of concentration.
Yeah.
And so some of those things inhibit that. And so, yeah, you're not going to get very far. But for the most part, and I'll be really honest, I'm sure you want me to do that.
Of course, yeah.
Is that I honestly haven't encountered anyone that with the right amount of time and the right approach that I can't get them where we both want to go.
Okay.
So I've never run into anybody who wanted to be hypnotized couldn't be hypnotized.
When somebody books a session with you, what advice do you give them coming in?
The thing that I will tell them is you don't do anything different. Just come in. And if you want, you can bring a list of things you want. You can write down what it is you want to change. But more than anything, it's just come in, be prepared to be with me for if it's not a smoking session, the initial session's an hour and a half, yeah, and then the follow-up sessions, if I do, are an hour. But there's no real special prep.
Yeah.
It's just recognize it. Oh, and I guess I should also let you know that if somebody wants to come in with someone else,
a support person,
absolutely, they can. I've got plenty of chairs, and there's only one thing I ever ask people to do, and that's while I'm working with the client, they don't talk.
Yeah.
I mean, prior to and after the session, they can do all the questions they want, but while I'm working with the client, that's who counts.
So what do your friends and family think about what you do?
My friends love it. Yeah. Absolutely love it. I've had people think, "Oh, I thought it was Doug's eyes, but it's not. It's his voice." my family—they're supportive. They really are. We have I've got most of my family's up here in Washington. My biological family. Some people, some of my family, maybe not so much, but that's okay.
Yeah. So when you came out to your family and said, "Hey, I want to be a hypnotherapist," they were like, did they say, "What the hell is a hypnotherapist?"
I never told them. Yeah. I just did it. But the funny thing was, is that once I said, I'm practicing hypnosis and hypnotherapy, nobody said, "Oh my gosh, what do you think you're doing?" Yeah. They were actually really all very, very open to the idea. And, the funny thing is, of course, is that no one in my family has asked me to help them change. But
you must have a perfect family then.
No. I didn't expect them to ask me.
So I've seen people who have gone to hypnotherapists to help them remember past traumatic events. Is that something you do?
I do, yes.
Okay. With the paranormal community, it's a common thing for people that believe they've been abducted by aliens to come in and want to have, because with survivors, I've heard them say in a personal experience that you don't remember everything that happens. It's like they don't want you to remember certain things. And then people go in to see if you could help them remember. Is that something you've done before?
Yes, it is. The subconscious mind is constantly recording everything. And while you may not consciously remember things, it's there. Also, there are things that, our mind does to make certain that if it's a traumatic experience, that we don't constantly relive it. In regards to encounter stuff, I actually had a assistance from Dr. David Jacobs.
Okay.
And he shared with me his protocol he used he and Bud Hopkins used for abduction encounter, things like that. So I utilize his information, his protocol plus ultra depth for that kind of hypnosis session.
Is that something you like, alien abductions? Is that something you believe in personally, or is it just something you help with, and maybe there's an alternative explanation?
Well, I don't know if believe or not believe is it. I personally have never had an experience,
yeah,
but I know this. I know that things happen in this world that I have absolutely no explanation for.
Yeah.
And to put judgment on you for having an experience, me thinking, oh, no, that could never happen, would really put me in a bad place to help you.
Yeah.
So am I open to it? Absolutely. Do I know? I have no idea. I've helped a lot of people remember encounters with Sasquatch, Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. Same thing. I've never had a personal experience, but my gosh, how they relate what happened. It's like, well, something had to have happened here.
Right.
And so Jason, I don't think it's a believe or not believe. I think it's just open to the possibility and hopefully the probability.
So when a patient comes to you, do you basically follow like HIPAA guidelines as far as what they come to you with and that kind of stuff? Or,
well, yes, in the sense that anything that happens in my office stays in my office.
Yeah.
I do make a recording of all of my sessions. They go on a hard drive at my home office. Nobody sees it. I keep it for a few years. If I want to look at it and understand what transpired, meaning we uncovered something that I could use for another client, I'll do that. But for the most part, I record it and then it gets archived. There's an intake form, but I'm not asking any real medical questions. I'm not going to share that information with anybody. So HIPAA doesn't really apply, but just rest assured that if you're in my office, what happens in my office stays there.
Yeah. As a paranormal investigator myself, we kind of have that same rule with our clients, especially residential clients. Some of our commercial locations will come to us and say, hey, come do an investigation here. And then we want you to share because, like, you know, if there's a bar or something, they want to sell their location is haunted, that kind of stuff. And then other places are like, we want to know, but please don't, because like hotels and stuff, a lot of times are like, we want people to pay to sleep here. We don't want, you know, and then other hotels are like, we want to scare people. So we want people to, because, you know, paranormal tourism is a big thing these days for some reason. So
I can appreciate it. Yeah. And if you can get some publicity, why not?
Yeah. Let's see here. Can people use hypnosis for bad things? Like, can you hypnotize someone and then make them believe you're the most attractive man in the world?
Okay. So when I do my comedy stage stuff, I can suggest to someone, I do the polar opposites. I'll look at someone and I'll say, you, the person I'm touching now, I am the most unpleasant person you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I am disgusting. I mean, if you could run away from me, you would. And then I'll go to the other side and I'll say, I am the greatest person you've ever seen. You really like me. You want to be my shadow. And those people will behave that way. That one person will move away. It's actually hilarious to see them actually get up and move from chair to chair as I get closer. And the other person is like glued to me. So there's always that ethical umbrella that you have to look at.
Yeah.
And, you know, I unfortunately think that there are unethical people, whether it's in hypnosis or other fields, and you could probably do things that you
shouldn't
do.
Yeah. Tempting, but yeah, no. So you've been on TV, you said?
Yeah.
What were you on?
I was on an episode of Expedition Bigfoot.
Okay.
A couple of years ago. And actually, I guess it was more than a couple of years ago. Yeah. I worked with a young man by the name of Roger. And he had a Bigfoot experience, and so they asked me to go up to Chehalis, and I worked with him, and so that ended up on an episode in season two.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. So did you basically hypnotize him to, like, see if he can remember more details of what he saw and that kind of thing?
That's exactly what I did.
Awesome.
Spent several hours with him recalling it, and then they came in with the cameras and recorded what I did, and then what ended up on the television show was much more condensed. But
Is it more intimidating to do something like that, knowing that the whole world's going to see?
No, not really. Because I more than anything, Jason, I'm not trying to prove anything.
Yeah.
I'm just helping people remember more information. And so, I'm going to do what I do. do it as best as I can and help someone remember some things that they may not have been able to remember. And the cameras don't mean anything. This isn't a big deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So is it like for me, like I've had some experiences that part of me wants to remember, but part of me thinks that maybe I shouldn't because there's a reason why my mind doesn't want me to remember those things. What is your take on that?
Well, yeah, I think that there's always going to be that possibility of someone think, yeah, I don't know that I want to remember that because then all the feelings come up and, you know, it might affect, you know, my decisions or whatever. That's a little bit different than the brain dealing with trauma.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't want to remember something, you don't want to remember it.
Yeah.
When I'm working with someone, if it's a recall session, I do something called dissociation, which just means that I'm taking them out and allowing them to be an observer to it. Mm-hmm. So if something did happen, it's not happening to them. They're just watching it happen. And we can actually remove any kind of emotional attachment to it.
Okay.
You're just watching a movie. And we can even do it one step further and call it double dissociation. You're in the, you know, the projection booth watching you watch a movie. And then it doesn't really mean anything. So, you know, in regards to not knowing whether or not you want to, yeah, it's a personal decision.
Yeah.
And you say, yeah, I'll remember that someday.
So tell me about the Gresham Hypnosis Center.
Oh, okay. So it's in Gresham and it's a hypnosis center.
That would make sense.
Yeah. It's in what we used to, well, it used to be called the, Ben Franklin Building. It's, okay. It was a savings and loan building. And it got converted a couple of times, and now it's office space. There's a lot of different practitioners in there, counselors, attorneys, investment people. So Gresham Hypnosis Center is on the third floor, and we've been there. Gosh, I've been there. It's only me. 11 years.
Okay. And when did you, so you started that, how did that become? You just decided you wanted your own space for that or?
I had been working out of other places and yeah. And I said, well, okay, there's gotta be a place because some of the places I was working got really loud.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not always conducive to relaxation. So I did some research. I looked at an ad. I found it. I don't remember why I found the ad, but, and the rent, the lease was absolutely incredible. It's still really reasonable, so I'm happy about that.
That's good. But
yeah, it's a nice little office, and I get on a clear day, I can actually see the top of Mount St. Helens from my window, yeah.
So do you only work there, or do you do house calls and stuff?
Generally, everything happens in Gresham Hypnosis Center. I have been asked, and I do it kind of reluctantly. There have been some people who've want me to do distance or virtual kind of stuff, mm-hmm. mostly because they live a long ways away. I'll be working with a gentleman who's from Wisconsin.
Okay.
And so we'll do a video call. I like sessions in person better because I can actually calibrate what the client is doing and how they're responding and different things that I'm watching for, but virtual still works. I'll do comedy hypnosis. Most of the time right now I'm doing grad parties. I haven't done anything beyond that. It's fun for me and it gets me out of the house. but most of the stuff, actually, 100% of the stuff happens in Gresham Hypnosis Center.
Okay. As far as your comedy hypnosis stuff, when did you get started with that?
That too was in 2011. I went down to Las Vegas. And I took a class from two really incredible people, Igor Letahowski and Don Spencer.
Okay.
Don Spencer was known as the fastest, he still is, the fastest hypnotist in the world. He was given that name by a gentleman by the name of Ormond McGill, who was called the Dean of American Hypnotists.
Okay.
Don had the honor of having the title of the longest running stage hypnosis show in the United States. I think it was 7 years. And so I get to learn from Don.
Yeah.
And we're not as in frequent contact as we used to be, but I still consider Don my mentor and a friend.
I've been to a couple of shows like that, and I can't remember the guy's name. He's local in Washington, I believe. I can't remember his name, but one of the he does like adult humor though, very adult, because he's usually in bars and casinos, yeah, that kind of thing. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but one of the things I noticed that he would do is, you know, he would ask for volunteers and people would come up and he'd be doing, you know, trying to hypnotize these people, and sometimes he would just walk over and say no and they'd send them back, because I don't know why or how he would get the word, like maybe they're not taking it seriously. Is that something you deal with as well?
Yeah, actually, I think in every situation when you're doing stage, because there are two kinds of people that come up. Somebody who really wants to experience it,
yeah,
and somebody who wants to be noticed.
Yeah.
And so you start to watch how people respond. And you find out early on, we want a lot of compliance.
Yeah.
You know, sit here, do this, hands on your lap, you know, don't talk. You start to watch what happens there. And if they aren't responding the way you want, you can, yeah, just tap them on the shoulder and say, you know, you're going to have a lot more fun out in the audience. And you send them away. Yeah. And you have people give them a round of applause and we have fun. My job is never to embarrass anybody, so I'm not going to say, yeah, get the hell out of my
seat. You got to go. Yeah. Have you had hecklers and stuff like that when you're doing shows?
Not hecklers. No, no. I've had resistant people.
Yeah.
There was a show I did. I don't remember how many years ago it was, but there was a group of guys.
Yeah.
And remember, this is a grad party. And so they were all sitting together and they were talking and yammering and I wasn't getting anywhere. And I said, we're starting over. I turned around and I looked at the audience and said, we're starting over. And I did something called an instant induction. And the first person I put under, the audience went, oh! And the rest of the show just went like clockwork.
Huh.
So it's, you know, it's not uncommon for people to have, you know, they want to make disruptions and stuff like that. But, and even in corporate stuff, I'm invited to entertain.
Yeah.
And most of the people up there are going to be entertaining and the audience is going to enjoy it. It's not like stand-up comedy where I'm, you know, I have people, you know, saying that's not funny. So yeah, I generally don't have any.
That's good. So if somebody comes to you for, say, weight loss, and so you hypnotize them about losing weight, what does that help them do? Does that help them with, like, portion control? Does that help them with, like, cravings and that kind of stuff? How does that work?
All of the above. So, again, hypnosis helps them change beliefs, perceptions, and behaviors, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about a belief. Well, I've got to have a piece of cake before I go to bed. All right, that's a belief. We can change that.
Yeah.
Behaviors would be, yeah, well, you're not going to have that piece of cake. We're going to come up with something else for you to do. And, you know, that the perception is that cake is going to be beneficial to you. So when I work with someone for weight, there's a lot of pieces to it, because unlike cigarettes, which most people know aren't good for you,
yeah,
we need food as a fuel to exist. Yeah. So we have to approach it from a different angle that, you know, we're not taking away your food. We're not taking away pleasure. What we're doing is we're changing how you perceive it. And yeah, it has a lot to do with portion control. It has a lot to do with, you know, your relationship with food. It has a lot to do with how active you are. You know, the truth is, and I'm going to use a quote from somebody else, that, you know, weight loss begins in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, and what I can do is I can help modify how they approach that. Again, most people come to me and they're ready to lose weight. And so.
Yeah. What about hard drugs like methamphetamines, heroin, that kind of stuff? Can you help with that? Or is that a little bit, because they'll need way more medical help than you can give?
Yeah. I generally don't. I've had people ask me to help them. I've helped people who have alcohol problems.
Yeah.
That's a little different. But you also have to recognize that if you've got these people and you, none of it can be cold turkey.
Yeah.
And it's really out of my scope of practice. I would rather refer these people out to somebody who's qualified to work with addiction stuff than, you know, my – but, like, you know, let's say that somebody says, you know, I drink, you know, 6 beers on Friday night, and then I have a 6-pack on Saturday evening, and then I have, you know, 10 more and whatever, that we can work with that.
Yeah.
But for the most part, if somebody's got some heavy issues, I'll definitely refer them out.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, I mean, it might be a good place to start maybe, but like, yeah, you're definitely going to need some medical assistance with that.
I think that, you know, one of the biggest things when it comes to addiction is environment. And, you know, it's one of the easiest things to change, but it's also one of the most difficult. But there's a lot of chemical changes that go on in the brain. And when you have an addiction, oh, there's just so many triggers and so many variables. And there are practitioners who are highly trained in making those changes. So I can help you deal with the stress.
Yeah.
I can help you deal with, you know, how you sleep and things like that. But not necessarily, you know, take the needle out of your arm.
The people come to you for things like confidence building for like bedroom stuff and that kind of stuff too?
Yeah. I've actually got stories that probably aren't appropriate for the show. Yeah, I actually do. It's not something that I like advertise. I had a gentleman who was hoping for some help.
Yeah.
And it was a 3-session thing. And I was expecting him on the 3rd session, and he called me, left a message. He says, "Don't worry, everything's fine. I won't be coming in," which is exactly what I wanted to hear. confidence is huge. Like, I'm working with a couple of people right now that are like, am I doing this right? Am I good enough for this? So confidence is something that hypnosis can really shift. Self-esteem things are also areas that we work with.
People come to you a lot for professional development stuff?
Some. I, you know, like, we'll have people who come in for, you know, I want to be a better salesperson. Yeah. I want to be able to close deals better. Or, you know, I want to, there's a book, I apologize, I don't remember who wrote it, but it's 10x is better than 2x. There are some people that come in and say, I want to 10x whatever I'm doing. And I actually have a program called 10x, and where it's focused on, absolutely ramping up your game. So that's a definite yes, Jason.
So what kind of things do you help yourself with hypnosis?
Wow. What have I done? Actually, focus is a good one. One might not know it, but I have a tendency to put things off. So I work with, you know, procrastination. Every once in a while, I have a little bit of difficulty with sleep, so I might do something like that. If I have a toothache, I'll use self-hypnosis to get rid of the pain. There's a lot of different things. Yeah, I'm actually certified in hypnoanesthesia, so I help people deal with that kind of discomfort in the dentist chair or actually for surgeries. I use what I do so often so in hypnosis or in other modalities, we have something called borrowing benefits.
Okay.
So that if you're within proximity and you're doing something that's adjacent to, you can pick up the benefits of what's going on. So if I'm hypnotizing someone to be more confident, I'm telling them, and then I'm telling myself, you know, you feel more confident about doing X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
So, I guess I use it for everything that my clients come in for, except I'm really good because I don't smoke.
Yeah.
I'm that good. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been a smoker?
No, I haven't.
That's good. Yeah. That's a habit I never picked up either, thankfully.
Good for you.
That's a horrible habit to have. So on your website, I saw the workbooks and audio people can purchase. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, actually. So I created something called the Emotional Reset Program. And it's four individual books that target resetting your emotional outlook on things. And it can be health or wealth or relationships, you know, the evergreens, the big three. And then there are audio recordings that I have tied into that that address those specific topics. And yeah, they're available to purchase.
All right. So do you have a particular story where you were doing your comedy shows and where you hypnotized somebody and something just was wonderful and worked out perfectly and was hilarious? And
yeah. Yeah. I tell this story a few times. So at the end of the show, I make it look like I'm through, and I'll, you know, tell everybody that, you know, we're getting ready to close up.
Yeah.
And then I'll touch somebody on the shoulder and I'll say, you know, you, the person that's in this room, you know, and as long as you're in this room, whenever someone goes to shake your hand is going to float up to the air and your fingers will point to the ceiling. So, you know, whenever and as long as you're in this room. And then I bring them out. And it's what's called a post-hypnotic suggestion. And it, you know, and so now everybody in the audience heard me say that and they'll watch. And they'll also do it. They'll walk up to this person and go to shake their hand, and their hand will float up to the ceiling. So I did this with a football player. I call him a football player. He was like 6'4" and huge. And I mean, I'm 5'9", and he was towering over me. So I finished that, and I'm done with the show. We're tearing down the sound and everything else. And I see this guy, 6'4", walking right toward me, his stern look on his face, and he says, "You really messed me up," and grabs my hand and says, "Thanks a lot. That was fun." It's like, yes, all right, that's it. I thought I was dead.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is it.
But or broken in a corner someplace.
Yeah,
had a lot of fun with, you know, people not remembering. One of the things that happens in certain stages of hypnosis is amnesia.
Yeah.
And I'll have things that go on the stage, and after the show they'll come up and they'll say, "My friends told me I did this. Did I actually do it?" And, you know, the last fun one was the situation was really unprofessional.
Yeah.
In the sense of there was no stage and there were no chairs. There were all these kids were sitting right behind me. Literally, I could turn around and they were there. So I had one of them forget their name. And and then I started engaging the rest of the audience. I said, "What should I do next?" And they would give me these suggestions, and I would do that with this kid that couldn't remember his name. And it ended up being one of the best shows I ever did, because everybody was involved and everyone was laughing, and he didn't know what was going on. Most of the shows I do, Jason, are really a lot of fun.
There was a hypnotist at the Oregon Ghost Conference. Not last year, but the year before. And I wasn't available for the show, but my friend went, and he was one of the people that got hypnotized. Okay. And he's a paranormal investigator. So the hypnotist made him believe that he got the greatest picture of a ghost ever. And he really didn't have it. Right. But he's got this picture on his phone, and he's still the next day he's showing people. And none of us can see anything. And I'm like, what in the heck is wrong with Lance? Until his wife tells me what happened. Because I'm looking at this picture like, Lance is crazy. It's just a normal picture. That was hilarious.
I didn't do this. This was done by another hypnotist in England, and he hypnotized this woman to that her nephew was invisible.
Yeah.
And it actually went on for a couple of days, that she could hear his voice, but she could not see him physically in the room. So we call that positive hallucination, seeing something that you imagine, and negative hallucination, which is something that's not there.
Yeah.
Right. And so backwards, positive hallucination, negative hallucination. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, so you can actually have people see things that don't exist. One of the things I do, just because of where we're at, is I'll have sometimes one of the kids in the audience imagine that when they open their eyes, they see Bigfoot out in the audience. And they will then take their shoe, which I told them was their cell phone, and they'll take a picture of it with their shoe. And then they'll show it to other people. And, you know, so, you can actually – you alter their beliefs for a little while, and you can have them believe that, yeah, I got this picture.
How long does that usually last?
Well, it really depends. At the end of a show, I close it down. I'd say all suggestions are removed. Everything's back to normal for you. You can deliberately, I mean, if I really wanted to set it up in my office, we could create post-hypnotic suggestions that could go on for weeks and weeks with little to no reinforcement, especially if the same triggers were there. Every time you walk through a doorway, you're reminded of. You know, and so how many times does somebody walk through a doorway? Subconscious says, "Oh, doorway. That's right. I don't remember how to tie my shoes." Yeah.
So you could use that for like, "Hey, you're the best salesman." Every time you go to work, you believe you're the best salesman in the entire car dealership.
Yeah, absolutely. Without arrogance. Yeah. Yes.
So they could walk in there, and because a lot of times all of that is just believing. You know.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So you could say, you know, the moment you walk through those doors into the sales floor, you are the best salesperson they have.
Yeah, I lie to myself like that all the time when it comes to like public speaking and stuff. Yeah, I do this all the time. I'm great.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though it's not something I've done you know, hundreds of times, but I'm getting better at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So if people want to get a hold of you for hypnosis, your hypnosis center, to book a session with you, how would they do that?
Well, there's a couple of ways. There's actually a contact form on the website. You can just reach out to me that way. The there's a comment section that you can explain what it is you want. You can call me. And the phone number's on the website, and I can give it here.
Yeah, go ahead.
503-319-7142. And if I don't answer, it's because I'm working with somebody. Leave a message. That's generally email, because it's Gresham Hypnosis Center at Gmail. So there's a lot of different ways.
Okay.
Yeah, just don't drop in because I'm probably with somebody and I won't answer the door.
And how long does it take to book a session? Like, how booked out are you?
I'm actually out about a week and a half.
Okay.
I schedule my appointments Monday through Friday, and it's really simple. It's 9, 11, 1, and 3.
Yeah.
And I do the two-hour block because that's my smokers. I have 2 hours. But so, yeah, Monday through Friday, 9-11, 1 and 3. I usually don't like to work on weekends, but every once in a while I work on weekends.
Yeah. So if somebody wanted to, like, have you come out and do your hypnosis shows, how do they get a hold of you for that same way?
Yeah, actually, I have a website called retrohypno.com. And I want to first give a shout-out to Guy Edwards, who actually is the gentleman that makes certain that my websites are all humming and okay. rolling along. And actually, Guy is the guy who got me involved with Bigfoot, too, so we talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, same thing, contact information on Retro Hypno. And then there's same phone number, gets you there, and I have a email, which is retrohypno@gmail.com.
So is Bigfoot something you become interested in, or is it something you work with?
Something I work with. Now, I've been to a lot of Bigfoot functions.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a lot of people. I've been speakers at a lot of the functions just because of the work that I do.
Yeah.
One of the more notable things that I'm known for is I, 7 years ago, hypnotized Bob Gimlin.
Oh, wow.
And actually, if you go to YouTube and you type in hypnosis Bob Gimlin, it'll pop up, and it's the whole session that I did. So because of that, and working with other people in the community, I've done a lot of speaking that way. It's okay. I'm going to drop another name here. Cliff Berrickman, Cliff.
He's been on the show.
Cool. Cliff, I was at his house, and we were sitting around and talking. There was a whole bunch of us, Tom Powell, Guy, all of these people.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to all these stories, and I say, well, you know what? I really am glad that I'm just on the fringe of all of this. And Cliff looked at me, smiled, and he says, no, Doug, you're smack dab in the middle of it. And at times I am. At times I am. And it's fun. I meet some very interesting people. And sometimes I meet some very interesting people.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, the Bigfoot people, they're very a nice group, but they definitely some interesting characters there. Yeah, yeah. I've had several of them on the show. And yeah, it's funny with Cliff because, with the Bigfoot community, there's half the community that believes that Bigfoot is like this ape-like creature, mammal, walking around the woods. And and the other part thinks maybe it's a spiritual being or something paranormal. Cliff won't even discuss that.
No. And I respect that because, I have actually worked with both camps.
Yeah.
And most of the people that I work with actually are flesh and blood. Again, do I know? I have no idea. I mean,
I don't either. Like
like I said, I mean, there's uncounted things I don't understand or know about in this world. So why would I say, yeah, that doesn't exist?
Yeah, I'm hoping it does personally. I mean, like, if I'm more of the, creature walking around the woods, I don't think it's a paranormal thing, but I could be completely wrong because what do I know? But that would be interesting. I've had like Ron Moorhead on with the Sierra Sounds.
Yep.
Those are the creepiest noises I've ever heard in my life. I can't even imagine being like miles in the woods on a horseback in the middle of the night and you hear these noises and you can't just pack up and leave.
No.
Just got to stay there and, you know, okay, let's go to bed now.
Yeah. While all this hooting, howling and knocking and everything else is going on. Ron is an amazing individual. I like Ron a lot.
Yeah. So were you at the, I spoke at the Mount Hood Sasquatch Festival they had up there at the lodge. They were going to try to make it a yearly event, but they didn't end up doing that. Yeah. But it was pretty successful. I had a lot of fun up there. I met a lot of different people up there. And
No, I didn't do the Mount Hood. I've done Beachfoot with Todd Neese.
Okay.
A couple of times I was a speaker. Todd invites me back. Unfortunately, oftentimes my schedule doesn't work. I did the Yakima Bigfoot con with Mel Scan.
Yeah. I just had him. He was my last guest, actually.
Mel is an amazing guy. I love listening to
him.
He's
a good storyteller, yeah.
It was so cool because when I was doing my presentation, we'd all get up early, right?
Yeah.
And we'd be sitting in the Legends having our cup of coffee. And there was like four of us.
Yeah.
And Mel is telling his stories. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's like, you don't want him to stop, but you know that the con's going to start in, you know, an hour. And it's like, and Mel is just so, yeah, he's an amazing storyteller. I'm honored to know Mel Scan.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I've had him and Mark Marcel. Mark's, he's amazing. And the Abe Canyon story, that's a great story. His documentary and all that. Have you seen his documentary?
I have not, and I've never met Mark Marcel.
He's a great guy. Yeah. His documentary, he discovered the actual cabin site from the Abe Canyon story. I don't know if you're familiar with
that. I am familiar with the story.
Okay. So he's a land surveyor. So he was like, if this happened, it would be really good. Because, I mean, it's just a story without any evidence, right? So he's like, this is a really cool story, but let's see if we can locate where this actually was. And he found out that the eruption in 80, they believe, spared the location.
Oh, wow.
So he was able, I don't know how long it took him, but he went up there and actually found the cabin site where the foundation of the cabin is and found some of the stuff that, you know, like bullet casings and all that kind of stuff to kind of, you know, insinuate that like this probably happened.
Wow. So I'll have to watch that documentary.
Yeah. It's called, why can't I remember? The Siege of Ape Canyon.
Siege of Ape Canyon. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and Mark's a really cool guy. I had him on, and he's a good storyteller as well. And yeah, I had Mel on. He's hilarious when he's telling his stories, and then when he's making the sounds at the Sasquatch. Oh, he's so good at that. I was like, wow, that almost sounds exactly like what was recorded by Ron. It cracked me up. Yeah. All right. So one more time, if somebody wants more information about you, how do they find that?
They can find me at my website at GreshamHypnosisCenter.com. If you're interested in a comedy hypnosis show, it's retrohypno.com. Email, phone, 503-319-7142, and we can talk about getting together.
All right. Well, thank you, Doug, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jason, for having me.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
Shriners Children's has opened a new pediatric orthopedic clinic in Vancouver. The clinic offers evaluation and follow-up care for children and teens with orthopedic conditions, including sports-related injuries. Care is available regardless of a family's ability to pay. Details about the Vancouver clinic are at shrinerschildrens.org/Vancouver Clinic.
Support for KXRW Vancouver comes from On Point Removal Services. On Point Removal Services is a Vancouver, Washington-based junk removal service that proudly serves all of the Clark County area and beyond. Offering residential, office, and construction junk removal, On Point will do all of the loading, pickup, hauling, and cleanup on your project. And On Point is fully licensed and insured. For more information, visit their website at onpoint-removal.com.
You better work.
D Discover our city's hidden gem, hiding right below the sidewalk. Underbar is a speakeasy-themed cocktail lounge located downtown Vancouver. As an LGBTQ-friendly and gay-owned space, it is a go-to destination for weekly events such as comedy, trivia, bingo, and open mic nights. Local artists are featured every first Friday of the month, and every fourth Sunday is Underbar's Underground Drag Brunch Show, 2 to 4 p.m. More information and location can be found at underbarvancouver.com. That's underbarvancouver.com.
Hey, this is Ricky Rocket from Poison, and you're listening to Hassling the Paranormal on KXRW 99.9 FM.
You've been listening to Hassling the Paranormal on KXRW 99.9 FM. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll tune in next time.
The Colombian calls singer-songwriter Al Perez a soulful performer masterfully woven, whether he's on his acoustic guitar solo or backed by his five-member live band. Al Perez has thrilled local and abroad audiences for over two decades with his unique blend of light rock, R&B, fan-favorite covers, and a touch of Latin flavor. To book Al Perez or hear his latest Warrior Records release, Love Revolution, go to warriorrecords.com/Al-Perez. That's warriorrecords.com/Al-Perez.
With your hand in my hand, your body kissed by the sun, and we'll be living. We'll find